If you all have your Bible, I invite you to open up to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, we'll be looking at our main text there in just a moment. The context of 1 Peter chapter 3, it's talking about the duty of the wife to the husband and the husband to the wife. And particularly 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 is what we're going to be looking at. But I think in order to have a better understanding of 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, we need to have a proper understanding of the context of 1 Peter as a whole. So know that Peter is writing to Christians, predominantly Christians living in the Roman area. We know that from verse 1. I think the thematic statement actually occurs in chapter 5 in verse 12, where we read, "I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God in which you stand." So we see Peter's reason for writing this letter is to exhort and to testify. And we understand from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12 and 13, where it writes, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." So we understand, just like most of the New Testament letters, Christians are going through trial, they're going through persecution, and Paul or Peter, whoever's writing, is generally writing to encourage and admonish them. In fact, the word suffer occurs 17 times in 1 Peter in the New King James Translation. And the way that you counter suffering, the reproach, is through joyful, hopeful, or courageous Christian living. And 51 times a command or exhortation is given to spur them on to practice patience and faithfulness. And the motive behind that is obviously through the grace of God through Jesus Christ. And so with that understanding, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, understanding that Peter is writing to spur these Christians in Rome on to faithfulness. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, to dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife, as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." There's a very important word here that if you miss it, you won't understand 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. And that's the second word in this text, likewise. Likewise. You have to stop and ask, why is that there? Likewise or in like manner, that means there must be a preceding text that gives indication to what's going on in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. So if you back up to 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, we see there's this theme of submission going on. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 13, we have submission to the government. It states, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme." Drop down to verse 18 of chapter 2, we see submission to masters. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." And then in 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, we see submission to husbands. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even as some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." So our culture doesn't like this word, submission, right? Because to submit means to not go with your own will, but go along with whatever the authority states. And I think sometimes we kind of steer clear of that, but submission is in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 as well. Otherwise, likewise would not make sense. So if you look up this Greek word for submission, it's hupotasso, I'm probably getting that wrong, but it means to subordinate, subject, or to yield. And so this evening I want to look at three lessons from 1 Peter 3, 7, and particularly these are for husbands, but they have application for the women as well. Number one, we're going to look at husbands and yielding to their wives and how we dwell with our wives according to understanding. We're going to look at yielding to our wives as we give honor to our wives. And then lastly, we want to look at being heirs together. So number one, dwelling with our wives with understanding. You know, men and women are different, right? There's a book written, "Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus." I remember reading that before I got married. I don't remember much about it other than that men and women are obviously different. It's said that women say twice as many words as men. And of course, women would say, well, if we didn't have to repeat ourselves so much, we wouldn't say twice as many words. And while both of those are hyperbole, it actually is true that women do tend to say more words than men on a given day. It's also true that women tend to go to the bathroom in groups. Men do not. I think about if a man were to come up to me and say, hey, I need to go to the bathroom, you want to tag along? I might would run in the opposite direction. But it's obviously that men and women are different. There's a YouTube video I saw several years ago, and I encourage you to look it up if you haven't. It's called Nail in the Forehead. And in that video, you have a man and woman sitting on a couch, and you can't see it at first, but the woman, she's describing this headache that she's having, just all this head and her pain in her head. And then she's saying that whenever she puts on a new sweater, she gets a snag in it, and there's holes in all of her clothes. And you see the husband, he's just puzzled looking at her, and it turns the camera, and you see a giant nail sticking in her forehead. Well, what's the man's reaction? He wants to solve the problem. He wants to correct it. And when he starts to do it, she gets very upset with him and says, it's not about the nail. And finally, the way they overcome this is he says, that just must be really hard. I can't imagine going through all that pain. And you know what I had to learn? That was an important lesson for me to learn in marriage, is that sometimes my wife, she goes through trials, obstacles. Maybe she had a hard day with our son. And she's not looking for me to come home and solve all her problems. She's looking for me to listen to her and be sympathetic. And this goes to what Paul is pointing out in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 22. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, verse 25, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So there's two key things here paralleled with Christ and the church, and that is for women to submit to their husbands or to respect their husbands, and for men to love their wives. You see, it's two different commandments there that parallels what we're reading in 1 Peter chapter 3. And there's a great book. It's not written by a member of the church, though he's an evangelical. His name's Dr. Emerson Eggerich. And he wrote a book several years back called Love and Respect, The Love She Most Desires, The Respect He Desperately Needs. And it's basically an entire book written on this one single passage. And what he describes in that book, he describes two cycles. One's the crazy cycle and one's the energizing cycle. And in the crazy cycle, he notes that without love, the wife reacts without respect, and the husband reacts without love. And that cycle just continues. And we see this. Anyone who's been married, they've gotten into one of these cycles where the husband will not show love towards the wife. She, in turn, will not respect, and they just reciprocate off each other. You get to a crazy cycle. But the opposite is true. If we can learn to yield, husbands yield to that disrespect maybe at times, and choose to love our wives in spite of that, and vice versa, it goes both ways, then we can have the energizing cycle. This is where the husband shows his love, which motivates the wife to respect her husband, and then the cycle just reciprocates, and the two get on the same page. It's what Paul is describing in Ephesians 5. It's what Peter's describing in 1 Peter chapter 3, when we dwell with our wives according to understanding. Now, point number two in the passage we read, to give honor to the wife. And I believe this is the part of the passage that's often incorrectly understood. Because what occurs after the phrase, give honor to the wife, it says, as to the weaker vessel. Now, remember the context here. We're talking about how to be more faithful in our Christian walk, and we're talking about submission. So would it make sense in this context when we're focused on spiritual to all of a sudden swift shift to the physical? I don't believe that this passage is talking about that women are weaker in terms of spirituality or physical. Now, it's true. I'm not going to shy away from this. Women are weaker than men physically. It's because men have testosterone and women have estrogen, something our country seems to be confused on. But let's understand what's actually being said. What's being given there is an analogy to how we honor the wife. You could think of this as the same as how we would honor a rare artifact or a rare painting or a gem or something of that nature. It reminds me of Proverbs 31 and verse 10. The Proverbs woman says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And so a wife, were to value her like a ruby. She's very, very valuable, like gold and silver. So how do we care for a weaker vessel such as a ruby? Well, we care for it and make sure that it's well supported and protected. We don't disregard its needs. We are proud of it. We speak highly of it. We don't just stick it in a closet never to be seen because we are ashamed of it. We give honor. Here's some practical applications, husbands, that we can ask ourselves. When's the last time we've helped our spouse around the house? When we've knocked off some of those items on the honey-do list about washing dishes or vacuuming or taking out the trash. You know, usually I see a lot of times in households you have chores that get divided up. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's probably a good idea. But sometimes it shows honor to the wife just to give her some help and to help her out with some of the things around the house that she's normally doing. When's the last time you watched the kids so your wife could have some alone time or enjoy grabbing a cup of coffee or getting her nails done with some friends? What about taking her on a date or a trip without the kids or anyone else just to spend some quality time together? How about this one? When was the last time you prayed with your wife or for your wife apart from regular routine, such as at the dinner table? Something we need to be thinking about as it pertains to honoring our wives. And point number three, being heirs together. You know, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, one of the beauties of marriage is it's two imperfect people coming together in marriage to help perfect one another. And if you think about that in terms of faithfulness, what would that make any sense if you had a Christian and a non-Christian? You know, the ultimate goal of two Christians is to get to heaven. And so in marriage, you're going to see each other at your lowest. You're going to see each other at your highest. You're going to know each other's inner, deepest secrets. And it's in that type of relationship that we can help perfect one another towards the gospel, towards Christ in our walk, becoming more and more faithful. That's why it's not a good idea. Part, there's other passages, other reasons, but that alone is another reason why you should never marry a non-Christian, why there's no business really even dating a non-Christian for those who are not in marriage yet. So husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So we noted that husbands are to dwell with our wives with understanding. We're to give honor to our wives. And then the combination of that is we can be heirs together in the gospel of Christ. And the last part is this. If we're to do this, there's a condition. It says that our prayers would not be hindered. And so friends, if it's the case here this evening that you have not been dwelling with your wife with understanding, you've not been honoring your wife, and you have not been walking jointly as heirs together in the grace of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then it could be the case that your prayers are hindered. As a result, you can ask your brethren to pray for you. You can correct that and get your life right this evening. If it's also the case here this evening that you're not a Christian but like to study and become one, we'd be glad to sit down and study with you. If you have any need, I ask you please come to stand as we sing.